when she wouldn't need it at all. Other than a few pleasant greetings, she kept herself aloof from passers-by, lest they ask too many questions and force her to use the medium's power. Passing beneath an arch between two tall stone bell towers, she took a moment to study the side of the nearer building. The ivy climbing the lattice looked faded, and barely any leaves clung to it. It would be winter soon, and she still hadn't managed to arrange a meeting with Aldermaston Utheros. Time was running out. There was no self-deception on her part. Hole would find her eventually. And every day she dreaded that he would do so before she could complete her mission. She continued to the dwelling that she had rented. It was a narrow building, a delightful ochre color, crammed between two taller ones. The bedroom she shared with Holly, whom everyone believed to be her maid, was on the top floor. Their home was simple, with a sitting room on the second floor, and beneath it a small kitchen, a fireplace, and very little else. Still, it was more opulent than any personal space they'd had previously, and it provided them with shelter while they continued their attempts to gain admittance to the castle. Better yet, the old woman they rented from left them alone, except when it was time to collect their monthly payment. Lady Gwenllian approached the house, inserted the key into the lock, and turned it. When she entered, the sizzle and aroma of cooking sausages met her nose. Holly was in the back of the kitchen, preparing the morning meal. Once the door was closed, the pretense ended. She was Aelin again, and Holly was Selin, her childhood friend and companion. They'd fled Mirwood Abbey to seek out Aldermaston Utheros, who was supposedly guilty of heresy. They believed differently. The Maston Order had succumbed to pride, and the leaders were acting increasingly despotic. The High Seer's refusal to reveal why Utheros was a heretic, despite sentencing him to death, suggested his heresy was anything but. Aelin hoped he would prove an ally capable of making real change in the Order. She also hoped he could make use of the tome the druid Mordaunt had entrusted to her, and use the knowledge therein to help their world, something Mordaunt, as a prisoner at Mirwood Abbey, could not do directly. If only they could find a way to reach Utheros. The Aldermaston had escaped death temporarily because he'd been granted a writ of safe conduct to attend his trial. He'd disappeared for a time before it was discovered the prince of this province of Hotland had brought him to the safety of his castle. No one knew why the prince had taken such a risk, but only one explanation made sense. He believed the excommunicated Aldermaston was innocent. He was certainly taking every precaution to protect him. Entering the castle without an invitation was now a crime. So Mordaunt's tome sat hidden on the ground floor of the ochre house, at the bottom of a barrel of beans they'd purchased after arriving.
"How was your walk, Aelin?" asked her friend.
"It's getting colder each morning. Winter is nearly here, and soon I won't be able to walk outside anymore without freezing." Aelin tugged off her gloves and set them on a small end table by the door. She removed her cloak and hung it from a hook. Her dress, which they'd bought in Bridgestow before crossing to Hotland, gave her a foreign look compared to the costumes of the locals. But that was intentional. She'd hoped to rouse curiosity in her arrival so they'd get an invitation to the castle on the hill. So far, it had not worked. Selin took the pan and dumped a sausage each onto two plates on the table, which already held bread and cheese. There was no third plate, since Strite spent most nights at a cell among the Greyfriars, and he would eat with them. He'd picked up the Hotland tongue very well since they'd arrived, and none of his brothers of the Order appeared to suspect that he wasn't one of them. His strange ways were attributed to his foreignness. But in truth, he was a druid from the Bearden Mirror in the Kingdom of Moros. After drinks were poured, Selin carried the tray up to the sitting room floor. Aelin followed. They ate their meals together by the window so they could observe the foot traffic through the arch at the base of the bell tower. There was less of it than in previous days.
"It is going to start snowing soon," Selin said after eating some of her sausage and bread. "Then we'll be trapped here all the rest of winter."